Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. In 2018, a Baptist preacher named Mark Harris beat the odds and narrowly fended off a Democratic blue wave to win a razor-thin victory in North Carolina's sprawling 9th Congressional District, which ran across the state's southern tier. Ultimately, of course, that result was overturned when it came to light that a man in Harris's employ named McCray Dowless had been illegally collecting, or harvesting, absentee ballots in rural Bladen County. In their new book, The Vote Collectors, the true story of the scamsters, politicians, and preachers behind the nation's greatest electoral fraud, co-authors Michael Graff, a Charlotte-based reporter for the news site Axios, and Nick Oxner, the chief investigative reporter for Charlotte's WBTV, tell the remarkable story surrounding this event and how it was, in many ways, the byproduct of decades of racism and electioneering in southeastern North Carolina. Recently, I got a chance to sit down with Oxner and learn more about the book, how it came to be, and some of the lessons it provides.
Well, Nick Oxner, welcome to News and Views. Thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's a fascinating new book that you've co-authored with Michael Graff, who is with the news site Axios, based in Charlotte. It's such a rich story, so many layers to discuss. Some of it's probably familiar to our listeners, but if you don't mind reminding folks of the basics of this story, the story of stolen election, in some sense, that took place in Bladen County, North Carolina.
Yeah, that's certainly the jumping off point for this book. It started with the congressional scandal of 2018, the 9th Congressional District. Think back all those years ago. It feels like a lifetime, right?
Yeah, it does.
This is the only known case of election fraud leading to a congressional election being thrown out in modern American history. So this was the race between Republican Mark Harris and Democrat Dan McCready in 2018. Harris beat McCready after the votes were all counted by about 900 votes. It was very tight. The State Board of Elections voted to not confirm those results, ultimately had a hearing at the end of which Mark Harris called for a new election. And we had a special election, and Dan Bishop won that special election. And all of it centered on activities and suspicions largely going on in Bladen County, which is at the very far eastern end of the 9th Congressional District.
It's an interesting district. I guess it doesn't really exist anymore. And we'll see what happens with districts in North Carolina. But it ran from Mecklenburg all the way along the southern tier of our state into Bladen County in southeastern North Carolina, which is there's a big divide between Mecklenburg County and Bladen County, two very different places. But it had to do with this issue of ballot harvesting, right? McCray Dowless, an interesting character in Bladen County who's sort of been all over the map politically, but was on the payroll of the Harris campaign, engaged in this obviously illegal practice, but apparently it had probably been happening in Bladen County for a while. Am I right about that?
For better or for worse, it's very clear that this is how people voted in Bladen County and probably voted in other counties in southeastern North Carolina. When I was on the ground reporting in 2018, I had a colleague, David Hodges, with me from WBTV, and he uncovered a complaint that someone with a different group from a voter who had filed a complaint with the State Board of Elections, that someone with a different group hadn't been by that election to pick up their ballot. I mean, they were complaining because someone hadn't harvested their ballot like normal. Right?
Yeah.
And that's just how people voted, for better or for worse. We can talk about if it's legal or not, but that's what happened. Like you said, though, McCray Dowless is the one who's still facing criminal charges for his activity in Bladen County in 2018, was working for Mark Harris. First was introduced to Mark Harris during a meeting at a discount furniture store owned by a county commissioner in Bladen County. And really, we walk through how McCray and Mark Harris came to work with one another, despite some warnings from Mark Harris's son. And some other red flags that were out there that existed that Mark Harris didn't pick up on.
We've heard stories of politicians throughout American history who, you know, they hire somebody in the local community and they just sort of like take care of things in that town for me. Do you have a sense whether Mark Harris really knew? Did you develop a sense as to whether he really knew what Dowless was up to in harvesting these ballots?
I don't think he really knew. Legitimately, the only actual person really warning him was his son, who he discounted for being his son. What did he say at the hearing? He was 29 with a taste of arrogance. I'm the same age as his son. I always remember that because people probably describe me the same way. Anyway, so he discounts his son and these warnings that his son, who, you know, even though at his young age is already a pretty accomplished lawyer,
right?
But on the other end of his, you know, you've got his son on one side saying, hey, dad, be careful. On the other end, you know, he goes to this meeting at the furniture store that I talked about, and he talks with, you know, the biggest Republican donor, Pat Melvin, of Melvin's Hamburgers fame. And he talks with the chairman of the Republican Party and the chairman of the county commissioners, who's a Republican, who owns the furniture store. And he's got the recommendation of the sheriff in town, Judge Marion Warren, who at the time was running the North Carolina Administrative Office, but who's from southeastern North Carolina. He's the one who orchestrated all this in the first place. And so if you're Mark Harris, it's easy to understand, you know, if you're going here and all the locals say, this is your guy. And not only is this your guy, but McRae knows everything about elections. He knows how to walk up to the line, but not go over it. And that's what they told him. And so he believed that.
We're talking with author and investigative reporter Nick Oxner about his new book that he's co-authored with Michael Graff, who's also a Charlotte-based reporter. The book is entitled The Vote Collectors, the true story of the scamsters, politicians, and preachers behind the nation's greatest electoral fraud. It ought to be on your holiday book purchase list. So the story, Nick, of course, is a lot of it is about this very specific, amazing incident of illegal vote harvesting, but you weave it with the history of this part of our state here in North Carolina that is fraught with racial divides and political scandals, and just it's an amazing story. Talk to us about some of those connections, that link between that history and this modern day scandal.
It was important for Michael and I to put what happened in 2018 in context. You know, so often what happened has been described as something that was done by one guy for one candidate in one election. And that's just not true, as we've already talked about, right? But you've also got to look at what happened in 2018 also was the result of these building forces that had been developing for more than 100 years of race and of class and, you know, of poverty and all these dynamics that exist in Bladen County and really largely throughout southeastern North Carolina. And so, you know, our book traces almost a straight line from Reconstruction all the way to 2018 and goes through historical events, including the Wilmington Massacre of 1898, including the last Black congressman before Jim Crow laws, George Henry White, who was born in Bladen County and represented the second congressional district in North Carolina. So you can go through time and draw, it's crazy, and connect these dots and understand how the Bladen County of 2018 was a ripe ground for this to explode as fantastically as it did.
This is also connected to the fact that we're having an ongoing national debate about the whole issue of voter fraud and supposedly stolen elections. This very egregious event is one very blatant example of that, but it doesn't seem actually that we've got many other incidents like this that have turned up. But in a weird sort of way, it's kind of been used by the folks claiming fraud in the 2020 election is sort of evidence, even though it was some of their allies who perpetrated it in the 2020 election. That's a sort of weird set of circumstances, seems to me.
Zoe Chase of This American Life, who did a podcast about Bladen County for Serial Productions, I think had an opening line that Republicans love to talk about this because it proves that voter fraud's real. Democrats love to talk about it because it was Republicans who did the voter fraud. But, you know, I think that what happened in 2018 happened because the people who were charged with investigating this action and who could have stopped this action much sooner didn't. We had a breakdown of systems. I mean, a 300 plus page dossier outlining what was going on with both McRae Dallas's operation and the Bladen County Improvement Association.
Right.
It was kind of the Democrat opposite of McRae Dallas. The State Board of Elections had concerns about both of those organizations were doing. It sat
for years, right?
For a long time. And after the 2016 election, the board voted to refer all of this to federal prosecutors, and the state board sends over hundreds of pages to the U.S. attorney, and it sat unread on his desk, and he did nothing. Why did he do nothing? Because he was busy trying to chase immigrants who might be voting illegally that came up with, you know, a handful of charges, some of which were dismissed, others of which resulted in $100 fines.
Right.
But, you know, I think the important thing is these happen. You could look all around the country and you could find ones and twos, one-off voter fraud cases. Voter fraud happens in America, but not at the scale that we see being alleged. And if we want to go take it seriously, well, then let's look at what we have the evidence of. Had Bobby Higdon, the U.S. attorney for the Eastern District, wanted to find real voter fraud, he could have looked on his desk. Instead, he spent years chasing made-up voter fraud that didn't exist.
Amazing. Where do we go from here? I mean, are there any beneficial impacts from this saga? Are our state election officials maybe paying more attention to things like this? Are we likely perhaps to avoid these kinds of incidents in the future in North Carolina as a result of this?
Have a roadmap. Besides, Michael and I did a book event a couple of weeks ago where the moderator asked, you know, what are you hopeful about? And I answered the question and Michael stopped me as I answered. He said, hopeful, Nick. Look, there's a roadmap. We have a roadmap for knowing what the problems are and how we can fix them. It's really up to our leaders on whether or not they want to put in the time and attention and the work into addressing the issues that we've uncovered here and that we know exist. Do I know that that's going to happen? Not necessarily. I don't know that. I hope so. I think it's incumbent upon our elected and unelected officials to do the right thing, to take their jobs seriously. And definitely what our book is about is what happens and what has happened now and what happened 100 years ago when our systems break down and don't work like they're supposed to.
The book is The Vote Collectors, the true story of the scamsters, politicians, and preachers behind the nation's greatest electoral fraud. One of the co-authors is Nick Oxner, who is the chief investigative reporter for WBTV in Charlotte. His co-author is Michael Graff of the Charlotte-based news site Axios. He's their Charlotte-based reporter. Nick, congratulations. Great work. Folks, we've got an extended interview that our Joe Killian did with Nick and Michael that's on our website at ncpolicywatch.com. And gosh, keep up the good work. You're one of the most important investigative reporters in North Carolina. I'm sure you've got a lot on your plate for 2022.
Thank you. Yeah, stay tuned.
We sure will. Thanks again for being with us.
Coming up next, a special two-part conversation about a book that exposes one of the most worrisome trends in modern America. Don't go away.